Good morning, and it is another great day to see y'all all here today. So, for the last several weeks, it's great to see everybody here today. So, for the last several weeks, we've been on a journey kind of away from our theme, running away from our theme of being ready. We're going to get back to that eventually. But what we've been focusing on for the last few weeks was the, has been the theme that was around National Back to Church Sunday, which was 2 weeks ago. Remember this? This is the verse that it came from. Let your roots grow down into Him. Let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So, letting our roots grow down into Christ, building our lives on Christ as our foundation, firm and solid. That's what we've been talking about for the last several weeks. And I hope you've picked up on this. You see the word let here and built here? You know, see those words? These words tell us a couple of things about what Paul the Apostle is asking his readers, his hearers, to do. Number one, it is not an impossible task. Okay? It's not an impossible task. This is doable for all of those who choose to follow Christ. Not just for the super disciples, especially gifted ones. No, it's for everybody. It can be done by everybody. Number two, it's something that will not happen unless we allow it to happen. Unless we take steps to make it happen. Being intentional, that's what is required if we're going to reach this. Remember, this is our cool tree that we've been looking at. We're going to have roots in Christ that are so strong and so deep that it's hard to tell where we end and where Christ begins. To where we can say, like the Apostle Paul said here, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Building is an intentional process. So is growing roots like this. Growing roots in Christ like this is an intentional process. And it doesn't happen instantly for us or even for Paul. The letter to the churches of Galatia was probably one of Paul's first letters that he ever wrote. And that's where he wrote and said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Letter to the Galatians. In other words, he said in that very first letter, I'm so rooted in Christ that you can't tell us apart. And several years later, Paul wrote the book of Philippians, so the letter to the Philippian church. And in that letter, the same guy who said, I'm so rooted in Christ, you can't tell us apart. Now he says this. All I want now is Christ. I want to belong to Him. All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised Him from death. Well, that sounds a little different, doesn't it? That sounds like a guy who's just starting out on his journey. Just starting out on the journey that's going to take him from this to this. What happened to Paul? What happened to Paul during that time between when he wrote Galatians and when he wrote Philippians? I mean, did he backslide? Did he fall away from God? Now, I don't think so. I think he was well rooted in Christ when he wrote Galatians and that he still was when he wrote Philippians. But perhaps by the time he got around to writing the book of Philippians, he could more clearly see that this becoming rooted thing really is all about the process. It's not about the destination. It's not about the end result. It's about the journey to get there. And so, Paul could say, sure, I'm deeply rooted in Christ. But you know what? I want to know him even more. Because there's so much more to learn, to know. I want to be like him even more than I am now. That's what I'm working toward. That's what my goal is. And I kind of wonder, what happened? What happened to Paul during those intervening years between the time he wrote Galatians and the time he wrote Philippians? What happened that led him to such a place, to this possibly new and different and better understanding of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus? I wonder if maybe, I'm speculating, but I wonder if maybe during that time he had the opportunity to meet the widow of Stephen and meet her children growing up without their father, and then to receive from them an almost incomprehensible forgiveness. We kind of talked about this in our Bible class this morning. It's one thing to know in your mind that, hey, God has forgiven me. He's completely forgiven me of even some kind of terrible things. That's one thing. But I'm going to suggest to you, as Andy Stanley spoke in our class this morning, I'm going to suggest to you that it's a completely different thing entirely to experience here on earth, in the flesh, that same forgiveness from someone you have deliberately and deeply wounded. Wounded in a way that they will never completely heal from. That will always be a source of pain for them as long as they live. Is that what led Paul to understand that, you know what, I really have not yet completed this journey of being transformed into a reflection of Jesus till he's formed in me fully? I don't know. One thing we know that actually happened in Paul's life between the time he wrote Galatians and the time he wrote Philippians is the splitting up of his evangelistic partnership, his friendship with Barnabas. Y'all remember that story? It's in the book of Acts. Y'all probably talked about it in your Bible class, Paul. Y'all remember the Mark incident? Paul and Barnabas were going out on their first missionary journey, and Barnabas said, hey, let's bring along with us this young man named John Mark. John Mark. A young, excited disciple. Let's bring him with us. And so they did. And Mark was with them for a while. But at some point, Mark says, you know what? I'm out of here. This is way more than I bargained for. This is way too much for me. I'm leaving. Y'all remember that? So Paul and Barnabas complete their mission. And they come back home and things happen. And then they eventually said, let's go back out. let's go back and see those churches that we started in Galatia, by the way. Let's go back and see all those churches on another missionary trip. Barnabas said, yeah, let's go. I'm going to go get John Mark and off we'll go. And Paul said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We ain't bringing that guy with us this time. You remember what happened last time? He was a loser. We're not going to bring that dude with us. And Barnabas said, yeah, we're going to bring him. It'll be fine. And Barnabas and Paul got into, as Luke says in his understated way, a sharp disagreement over this. Meaning, they couldn't come to an agreement. And they split up. You might say they divorced. Paul and his good friend Barnabas. All because of this Mark guy. And while we can see and we can acknowledge that Paul's position in all this wasn't clearly wrong, even had some logical basis, didn't it? But it was a little strong, a little harsh maybe. Perhaps it was a little bit less like what Jesus probably would have done. You remember Jesus, right? Jesus, who poured himself into 12 of the most unlikely guys you can imagine for 3 years, who had to deal with these guys who just didn't get it most of the time. Jesus, who once got so outdone with his disciples, his 12, that he turned to them and he said this: what a generation! No sense of God. No focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? That's Jesus talking to his disciples. And yet, Jesus never gave up on those guys. And Andrew, I'm so thankful that you brought that up in your prayer preface this morning. Because Jesus believed in those guys, and he believes in us too. Jesus believes that we can let our roots grow down deep into him. Jesus believes that we can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I get that, but he believes that we can accomplish great things for the kingdom. So I can see, and I'm speculating again, but I can see that maybe Paul, sometime after writing this, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, sometime after writing this, finds himself in Jerusalem with the other apostles, maybe sometime during the part that's written in Acts chapter 21. You might take a look at that today. But I can see him there with those apostles and spending some real quality Jesus time with those guys, all right? And I can see that one night after dinner, they're all sitting around the table, and one of them says, hey, Paul, did we ever tell you about the time when Jesus said, how much longer do I have to put up with you guys? And Paul would say, wait, what? Really? Jesus said that to you? And he didn't run all of you guys off? And I could just hear all of those apostles who were there, sitting around the table, jumping into the conversation and telling the whole story, interrupting each other with details that one of them had forgotten and another one remembered, and all with all kinds of laughter going on. And all the while, Paul is trying to process all this, trying to compare it to what he had done with his best friend Barnabas and with that young disciple Mark, rejecting him for making a mistake. And maybe Paul started thinking right then that maybe I haven't actually arrived at my destination. Maybe I'm not quite so rooted in Christ as I thought, that you can't tell us apart. There was more growing to do, more learning to do, more changing to strive toward. And so, sometime later, Paul would write this: all I want now is Christ. I want to belong to him. All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him from the dead. And a couple of verses later, write this: I'm not saying that I have all this together, that I have made it, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself as an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us on to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. And Paul would then go and, like Jesus, pour himself into the lives of young, fearful, mistake-prone disciples, like Timothy, like Epaphroditus, as you can read about here in the book of Ephesians. And, yes, even John Mark. John Mark, yes, that very same John Mark that he thought was such a loser, more trouble than he was worth. That very same John Mark that he had thought, how long am I going to have to put up with this guy? That same John Mark who had fractured his wonderful friendship with Barnabas. And he poured himself into those guys, including John Mark, until finally, in his very last letter, he writes this: bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. Or as he says, put in the Living Bible, bring Mark with you when you come, for I need him. Okay, I realize that everything that I have said about the possible reasons why Paul seemingly changed his positions between the time when he wrote in his first letter to the Galatian church, where he said, I'm so rooted in Christ, you can't tell us apart, to the much later letter in Philippians, where he said, you know what, I ain't there yet. I realize that everything I've told you about, all of that is speculation. And speculation. So, feel free to toss it all out and just go home and see what the saints are going to do to break our heart this week. And for those of us with ears to hear, I'm going to suggest that whatever may have happened to get Paul from here to here to here, it all happened in the context of the church. It happened because he was blessed by the presence of brothers and sisters who loved him, who loved him enough to speak truth to him, who loved him enough to offer amazing forgiveness to him, who loved him enough to want the best for him, who loved him enough to encourage him to continue the journey towards Jesus, who loved him enough to help him let his roots keep on growing into Jesus. And when Paul may have thought he was good enough, right where he was surrounded by brothers and sisters who loved him enough to say, "Come on, Paul, there's more. Let's walk together." It's in the context of the church where we have that same opportunity. The opportunity not only to experience becoming rooted firmly in Jesus, but also the opportunity to help each other do the same thing. Here's what Paul said back in our verse from National Baptist Church Sunday, but picking up the verse before it as well. "Now that you have welcomed the Anointed One, Jesus the Lord, into your lives, continue to journey with Him and allow Him to shape your lives. Let your roots grow down deeply in Him. And let Him build you up on a firm foundation. Be strong in the faith, just as you were taught, and always spill over with thankfulness." Now, we've been looking at this, possibly, from an individual sense. I want to be more rooted in Christ. And that's certainly part of it. But as always, Paul is thinking about the church here when he says, "you," that you become rooted in Christ. He's speaking about the church. He means all of you. We could fool around with the wording here and change it and still be accurate and say, Paul says, "Now that you people of the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ have welcomed Jesus the Lord into your lives, then walk with Him, grow with Him, root yourself in Him," etc. When we understand it correctly that way, that he's talking to us as a group, as a church, then we can we see that it is in the church. And I submit to you, only in the church that we have the opportunity for our roots to grow deeply into Jesus. And as the church, we, meaning each of us, have the responsibility to each other to do this. And I love this picture. I love this picture. You see the tiny tree sprout there that has been carefully planted by somebody and now is being carefully and tenderly and gently cared for by somebody. It's only when we do this that we have the opportunity to become this. I said a few minutes ago that Jesus believed in his disciples and that he believes in us too. That we can do great things in the kingdom. We've kind of been talking about that in our Wednesday night class for the last couple of weeks. Well, one night after one of the Wednesday nights, we were talking about that. I'm on my way home. I hear a song on the radio. And it wasn't necessarily a Christian song, and it's not necessarily written as a Christian song. In fact, it was released as the official song for European soccer back in 2020. Soccer! I mean, come on. I'm looking over here at some soccer players, and there may be others out there. I mean, come on, soccer, really? But some of you like it. I get it. Whatever. But this song One of the co-writers of it is a guy named Bono. Some of y'all know who that is, Bono from U2. Some of you old folks are going, who? Some of you young folks are going, who? It's only, you have to be a certain age, I guess. But anyway, when Bono is writing music, it's a pretty good bet that his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can be seen in the lyrics, can be heard in the lyrics. And I think I'm going to play this, or part of this song for you here in a second. I think you can hear it if you listen. Here's the way I'm hearing it. Part of it, part of the words, is Christ singing to us. And part of it is us singing to each other to encourage us to be the people that Jesus believes in. Let's listen.
You fail, no fear for the fight. You pull hope from defeat in the night. There's an image of you in my mind. Could be mad, but you might just be right.
We've been waiting for. I'm sorry the lyrics didn't show up on the video, but you can find the lyrics under that title. We are the people we've been waiting for. A few weeks ago, we talked about how important it is that we see people the way Jesus sees them. But you know what else is true about that? We need to see ourselves the way Jesus sees us. We need to see the church, and I'm talking about our church, the way Jesus sees us, the people he believes in, people of the open hand, people with hearts that hurt for the poor, for the oppressed, for the lost, people with faith and no fear for the fight, people who pull hope from defeat in the night. An army of lovers never seen before. The people that we and he have been waiting for. Amen. Let's stand and sing and encourage each other.